Notice what he did. And he said, now here's another great prayer, and we'll get another one in the 9th chapter. He says, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God. Now let's pause there for just a moment, because that word terrible there, that has been, I'm afraid, greatly misunderstood, and very frankly, it's been rather abused also. Really and truly, preachers ought not to be called reverend. You know what reverend means? It means terrible. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some of us should be called the terrible Mr. So-and-so. But actually, it was a name that applied to God, and it was a name given to ministers in the old days when they were held in high regard in the community. That's not true anymore, of course. In fact, it's not even true in the church today. Some church members think they're called upon to try to crucify the preacher. And you generally find, now I know there are people say, oh, my church is different. We don't have folk like that. Maybe you don't. And thank God if you don't. But most churches I'm acquainted with have a little group, just a very small group, that try to crucify the preacher. And they generally do a bad job of it. They would call it a good job, but it is a very bad job. But in the old days, he was called reverend. That was a term of respect. But actually, it means the terrible God, the one who incites terror. And I personally do not think that any preacher ought to be called reverend. I use it, I must confess, but it's not a good name. And you can always detect an unsaved man the way he addresses you. I used to go to a dry cleaning place years ago, and the young fellow that ran it, why, he always said reverend. And from the time I walked in the door till the time I left, he used the term reverend at least 20 times. He sure wore it out. He was an unsaved man. You'd try to talk with him, but he called you reverend, but he wasn't really paying much attention to what it meant. We ought not to use the term, speaking of ministers. Now, will you notice, he's the God that incites terror. And that's an angle that we need to know today. That keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandment. He's gracious God, but he also is a God of judgment. And then he says, let thine ears now be attentive, thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which they have sinned? No, he says, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Now this man, he nails it down. He said, I'm a sinner. My father's house is a sinner, and as a nation, we're a sinner. Now, how many times do you hear that today in any church where there is that kind of confession of sin? And this man, Nehemiah, he just dropped down to the pavement and he began to weep and he began days of fasting and mourning and prayer. And this is his prayer that he's prayed. Now, first of all, he took his position with the people, that I have sinned. What a wonderful thing it is. Now, to take that position. Now, he could have been very pious and said, I'll pray for you. Or he could have been very critical of them. But you don't find him taking that position either. He's not being critical at all. He was concerned, and he wept and mourned and fasted and prayed. Now, I wonder if these days in which we live, if the critics today could only see this man and how he approached the problem. Now, caustic criticism may have its place, and there may be times when it's right, and we do need to hear the truth. But if your criticism does not stir you, does not affect you, doesn't concern you, then leave it alone. I suppose the harshest critic in the Bible was Jeremiah. They put him in the hoosegow. They put him in mud up to his armpits. His criticism burned like fire. It rankled in the soul of the wicked. And he's been called, though, the weeping prophet. His message broke his own heart. Now, if your criticism doesn't concern you, stop it. There's too much talk and not enough tears. There's too many hard things and not enough soft hearts. You're not God's messenger if the message does not break your heart. He was concerned, this man Nehemiah. He was not critical, and he prayed. And it's not work and pray, but pray and work was his motto. And we find here he made this confession. The failure was because of sin, but he was sinned. We have sinned. He said, I have sinned. He's no self-satisfied, Pharisaic onlooker.